Vena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Dena Bhutale Sayam Pakadamayam Dadati Sapnandigam. Prayers of Queen Kunti. She glorifies Krishna, and part of her glorification is describing the contradictory and even bewildering nature of Krishna. What is bewildering about Krishna? How he is equal to everyone, and yet when we see the activities of the Supreme Controller manifest in the material world, it doesn't at all appear that he's equal to everyone. Because if he was equal to everyone, everyone would have the same thing. But everyone certainly is not in the same circumstance. Rather, everyone is in completely unequal circumstances. But yet, he is non-partial, and yet he's the Supreme Controller. He doesn't specifically favor someone in the material world, nor does he show any disfavor. And most bewildering of all, as Queen Kunti expresses, is that that Supreme Lord, who is the creator of unlimited universes, who possesses unlimited power. Indeed, the creation of the unlimited universes is not done by any exertion of Krishna's power or a large percentage of Krishna's power. Rather, it is just an insignificant anks, mama tejo anks sambhava, Krishna says. It's by one part of my potency I am maintaining and supporting this entire universe. So that Krishna, who is all-powerful, who is an Adir Adir Govinda, the original personality, he's crying when his mother is chasing him and chastising him and threatening to tie him up with a rope and holding a stick in her hand. And he's crying so much, his mother puts the stick down, fearing that the boy will be too much traumatized by this, by fear and punishment. So she stops. She puts the stick down. This Krishna, tears are running down his eyes, fake tears possibly, because he wants his mother to think that he's repentant and that he's so afraid, so she'll stop. So she'll stop chastising him. And this is Krishna. So this is most bewildering. It is bewildering how the Lord can assume the incarnations as the boar, as Nrisingadev, half lion, half man, as Matsyadev, as Parsaram. So many incarnations, Kapila Dev. But the most difficult to understand is that incarnation of Krishna. Because his Leela of Krishna is so much like the activity of as a human being, unless one is an exalted personality, unless one possesses exalted spiritual consciousness, unless one is pure from all material tinges, one can't help mistaking Krishna's human-like Leela as being motivated by the same type of motives that we would have if we were to perform those activities. Atmavan manyate jagat that one sees the world according to one's own mind. So when Krishna performs activities, we think, oh, I know what that's like. But actually, we have no access at all into what's that like, unless we hear directly from Krishna or the Acharyas. So those activities of Krishna are free from all tinges of the material energy. They're not forced or pushed by any lack that he has. When we are inspired to do something, we do it because we're lacking something and we want to get the thing that we're lacking. Some pleasure, some tape. If you have the best quality CD tape system, you don't buy one because you already have one. So when one is not lacking anything, as Krishna is, he's Atmaramayo, he's the supreme self-satisfied personality. What is his impetus to act? This is truly bewildering. Kunti Devi, or Prabhupada actually says in his teachings of Queen Kunti book, that the reason why Krishna comes, and we're going to discuss that right now, to this world, is because he wants to. He's not impelled by anything external. There is no reason except his own ittajakti, his own desire. And he fulfills many purposes with his desire. But there is no external impellation why Krishna comes to this world. So Krishna acts, yes, which is difficult to understand, but he acts in the world. Now, why does he even come to this world? Now, in text, in 32 through 36, it discusses, these verses of Kunti Devi's discuss the reason why Krishna even comes to this world. Now, why do we come to this world? We come to this world not by choice. No one chose to be born in a particular family, in a particular place. No one chose, but one is simply forced. We find ourselves within a particular body and we get used to driving it. And we get used to considering the body us. But we didn't choose this particular body to be born at a particular place in time. We didn't choose that. If we had our choice, we might have made at least some small adjustments to our situation. Shorter nose, longer ears, something or another. We would have adjusted. But no, we are forced. But what impels Krishna to be born in this world? There's nothing to force him. He is the supreme force. He's all powerful. All powerful means, by definition, that he is, all the power emanates from him, and therefore nothing can force him to do anything. But yet he does things, including taking birth in this world. So text 32. Kechiroho rajam jatam punyaslokas yakirte yado priyasyana yan vaye malayasyeva chandanam. Some say that the unborn, because he's unborn also, it is also impossible for a materialistic person to understand how someone who is eternal and who is not forced, who is unborn virtually, Ajopi Samavyayama Bhutanam Ishvaropijam. Although Krishna explains in the fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that he is Aja, he is unborn. But yet, he is born. So why? Some say that the unborn is born for the glorification of pious kings. And others say that he is born to please King Yadu, one of your dearest devotees. You appear in his family as sandalwood appears in the Malaya hills. So this example is given, that Because sandalwood appears in the Malaya Hills, the Malaya Hills are glorified because of the presence of the sandalwood trees. Just like if there's a fragrant, a wonderful tree in a garden, and that tree is so fragrant, and the fragrance of it wafts through the entirety of the garden, making the whole garden a delight. The whole garden becomes glorious because of that one tree. So similarly, Krishna is known as Yadavendra, Yadavirya, Yadava. And by Krishna's birth in the Yadu dynasty, the entire dynasty becomes glorified. So because Maharaj Yadu was such a great devotee, Krishna decided to glorify him by taking his birth in that family. Actually, there's such a nice story about this in the ninth canto, how Maharaj Yadu, who was Maharaj Yadu's father? Maharaj Jayati. And mother and Jayati Maharaj became cursed. And he became prematurely old and he couldn't enjoy with his wife anymore. And he was so attached that he was begging his sons to exchange their youth for his old age so that he could have a youthful body and enjoy. Because when one is old, one can't enjoy anything. So, out of the sons, one, Puru, agreed. But Yadu and two sons, I think it was two, decided, they said they wouldn't do it because who wants to become old prematurely? But Yadu Maharaj, interestingly enough, he refused also to exchange his youth for old age. But his refusal was considered pious and religious, while the refusal of the others was considered irreligious and inappropriate. Because Yadu Maharaj's reasonings were, I need to enjoy something to enjoy my senses in youth so that in my old age I'll be able to renounce. But also, Yadu Maharaj knew that from his family, Krishna would take birth. So he had to propagate a family. And interestingly enough, Yadu Maharaj did renounce later on. He was wandering through his kingdom and he met an avadut who was Dattatreya Maharaj. And this is described in the 11th canto, how Dattatreya explained to him where he had gained his knowledge from by observing the world. And Yadu Maharaj became fully renounced upon hearing that. So in any case, Yadu was such a great devotee, Krishna came to glorify his devotee because this is Krishna's pleasure. Just like the devotee gets his pleasure from glorifying Krishna, this is actually the pleasure of a devotee. He gets energy, pleasure. He becomes happy. Just like if we decorate our own face, when we look in the mirror image looks more beautiful. So similarly, when we decorate the self of ourself, when we glorify the self of ourself, Krishna, then we become glorious and happy. It's true. And Krishna becomes happy by glorifying his devotees. Prabhupada explains in his purport. Because the Lord's appearance in this material world is bewildering, there are different opinions about the birth of the unborn. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that he takes his birth in the material world, although he is the Lord of all creations and he is unborn. So there cannot be any denial of the birth of the unborn, because he himself establishes the truth. But still there are different opinions as to why he takes his birth. That is also declared in the Bhagavad Gita. He appears by his own internal potency, bhutanam ishvaropisam prakritistam adhisthaya sambhavam yapmamayaya. Sambhavami means take my birth, and apmamayaya means by my internal maya, my yoga maya, by my internal potency I take my birth. Also apmamayaya means I take my birth by my mercy. He wants to be merciful to so many devotees. So he takes his birth to ease the pangs of their separation from him, to give them his association. That's another meaning of Atmamayaya. So he appears by his own internal potency to reestablish the principles of religion. What verse is that? And to protect the pious and annihilate the impious. What verse is that? Yada 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 masya glaniyur bhavati bharata abhutanam adamasya tadatmanam shri jamyaham paritranaya sadunam vinashya chadiskritam dharma samstarpanataya sambhavami yuge yuge. Every period of time, of every yuga, I advent myself to reestablish the principles of religion, because real religion only comes from Krishna. And also to annihilate the impious and to protect the devotees. That is the mission of the appearance of the unborn. Still, it is said that the Lord is there to glorify the pious king, Yudhisthira. He wanted to establish the Pandavas as the kings. And then Prabhupada, right at the end of the purport, therefore, the conclusion is that the Lord is ever unborn like the sun. Now, that's the example we usually give to explain Krishna's appearance in this world. It is like the rising of the sun, and his disappearance is compared to the setting of the sun. Is the sun born when it arises? No, it's always existing, but it becomes basically visible to our eyesight, our limited eyesight. But the sun's always existing. There is no day and night on the sun planet. So he appears as the sun rises on the eastern horizon. As the sun is never the sun of the eastern horizon, so the Lord is no one's son, but he is the father of everything that be. Here's another opinion as to why Krishna takes his birth. Others say that since both Vasudeva and Devaki prayed for you, you have taken your birth as their son. You have taken your birth again to reciprocate with the devotion of your devotees. Undoubtedly you are unborn, yet you take your birth for their welfare and to kill those who are envious of the demigods, to protect the devotees, to annihilate the miscreants who are envious of the suras. Krishna takes his birth. Another reason, text 34. Others say that the world, being overburdened like a boat at sea, is much aggrieved. And that Brahma, who is your son, prayed for you, and so you have appeared to diminish the trouble. We'll read that section of the 10th canto. Once, when Mother Earth was overburdened by hundreds and thousands of military phalanxes, of various conceited demons dressed like kings, she approached Lord Brahma for relief. This is Bhumi Devi. She approaches Lord Brahma. Mother Earth assumed the form of a cow to evoke the mercy and compassion of Lord Brahma. Because when the cow is such an offenseless animal, so motherly, homely, So naturally one, and also the cow is in the mode of goodness, very contented. So when one actually associates with cows, one becomes elevated in consciousness. So Mother Earth assumed the form of a cow, very much distressed, with tears in her eyes. She appeared before Lord Brahma and told him about her misfortune. Thereafter, having heard of the distress of Mother Earth, which was that there was an incredible buildup of demonic military forces on the earth, and it was giving a great burden to the earth. So having heard of the distress of Mother Earth, Lord Brahma, with Mother Earth, Lord Shiva, and all the other demigods, approached the shore of the ocean of milk. After reaching the shore of the ocean of milk, the demigods worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the master of the whole world, the master of the whole universe, the supreme god of all gods. They worshipped him from the bank, from the shore. They did not see him. With great attention they worship Lord Vishnu, who lies on the ocean of milk, by reciting the Vedic mantras known as the Purusha Shukta. While in trance, Lord Brahma heard the words of Lord Vishnu vibrating in the sky. Thus he told the demigods, "O demigods, hear from me the order of Kiradakshai Vishnu, the Supreme Person, and execute it attentively without any delay." Lord Brahma informed the demigods of the Lord's words. He said, "Before we submitted our petition to the Lord, he was already aware of the distress on earth. Consequently, for as long as the Lord moves on earth to diminish its burden by his own potency in the form of time, all of you demigods should appear through plenary portions as sons and grandsons in the family of the Yadus." So there were many in Krishna's family, the Yadu family. There were the demigods who advented themselves, plus there were the eternal associates from Krishna, from Dwarka. So Krishna, his force to destroy the demons was Kala, and Krishna showed his Kala force, his Kala Shakti to Arjuna when he showed him, at the same time as he showed him the universal form, he showed him also his form as Kala, which is so devastating, because everything is crushed by time. Everything and everyone is crushed by time. What a devastating force. Sometimes when we're old, we look at the young people in this world, the youths or the children, and we think, "Oh, I remember when I was young. Wouldn't it be great to be young again and to have energy of the body?" But time crushes everyone. When you think about it, in 100 years from now, most likely there will be more or less not one person, human being, who is alive now will be alive in 100 years, maybe a few. Everyone will be gone, because they're caught between the teeth of time and crushed between those teeth. What an image. This is from Bhagavad Gita, 11th chapter. All the soldiers are entering into the mouth of this force of time, helplessly. No one is willingly entering, and they're crushed. Kalosmin lokachaya krit. Krishna says, "I am this force of time which destroys everything." So he is moving on this earth when he came for this purpose, to crush the demons, is time. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Brahma continued, Sri Krishna said, Vasudev Grihe Shakshad, who has full potency, he will personally appear as the son of Vasudev. Therefore, all the wives of the demigods should also appear in order to satisfy him. The foremost manifestation of Krishna is Sankarshan, who is known as Ananta. He is the origin of all incarnations within this material world. Previous to the appearance of Lord Krishna, this original Sankarshan will appear as Baladev, just to please the Supreme Lord Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. This is Baladev's purpose. This is Balaram's purpose. He is in the mood of servant of Krishna. This is everyone's purpose. But we don't like that assignment. Rather than wanting to please Krishna, we would rather be independent and joyous ourselves. And therefore, we're an illusion, Maya, because we can't be independent and joyous. We can only be dependent servants of Krishna, so we can only serve Krishna indirectly. And there's a vast difference between serving Krishna directly and indirectly. If we serve Him directly, consciously, lovingly, spontaneously, we are happy, ecstatic, blissful. And if we serve Him indirectly, trying to be the master, we are miserable, suffering. The potency of the Lord, known as Vishnu Maya, who is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will also appear with Lord Krishna. This potency, acting in different capacities, captivates all the worlds, both material and spiritual. At the request of her master, she will appear with her different potencies in order to execute the work of the Lord. So this is what Brahma relayed the message of Krishna. When Krishna said he will come to remove the burden of the earth. Kunti Devi also said this earlier. You've come to remove the burden of the earth. So Prabhupada explains at the end of the purport, he summarizes this. Whenever there is trouble in the universe that cannot be solved by the administrative demigods, they approach Brahmaji for a solution. And if it is not to be solved even by Brahmaji, then Brahmaji consults and prays to the Kiradakshai Vishnu for an incarnation and solution to the problems. Such a problem arose when Kamsa and others were ruling the earth, and the earth became too much overburdened by the misdeeds of the Asuras. Brahmaji, along with other demigods, prayed at the shore of the Kshiradak ocean, and they were advised of the descent of Krishna as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. So some people say that the Lord appeared because of the prayers of Brahmaji. And now here's another opinion. Now this is an interesting one. We'll read two verses on this one. And yet others say that you appeared to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing and remembering and worshipping and so on, in order that the conditioned souls suffering from material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation. What was that one? To rejuvenate devotional service in the form of hearing and chanting. By performing wonderful pastimes to give us wonderful opportunities to hear and talk about Krishna and therefore remember Krishna. I'm going to now read from the table of contents of the Krishna book. The advent of Lord Krishna. The prayers for the demigods, by the demigods, for Lord Krishna in the womb. These are all very important and significant occurrences. The birth of Lord Krishna. So auspicious. Kamsa. Immediately there's trouble though. Kamsa begins his persecutions. The meeting of Nanda and Vasudeva. What happens? What is that meeting? Anyone remember? Where is that meeting? Where? Kurukshetra? No. But not far from Kurukshetra. I mean, at least it's closer than from here to Kurukshetra. Where was it? In Mathura. Because Nanda had gone to pay his taxes. And Vasudeva gave him a warning. You go back immediately. Next chapter. Putana killed. The salvation of Trinavarta. What form was Trinavarta in? This demon? A whirlwind. Vision of the universal form. Who does Krishna show the universal form to? To? Yes, wrong book though. Right answer though. Who? Mother Yasoda. Then Mother Yasoda binds Lord Krishna. Then the deliverance of Nalakuvera and Manigriva. The killing of the demons Vatsasura. What shape is Vatsasura in? Yes, very good. Calf. And Bakasura. What shape is Bakasura in? Yeah, you tell him, whisper it in his ear. A crane. Huh? A dog? He was just trying to make a fool out of you if he said that. In a long time, you have to be very careful. The killing of Dhanukasura. Where was he killed? What place?
Talavan.
And who killed him? Balaram. Yes. You have been to Talavan? Who's taking tal fruit here? How do you eat tal fruit? Yeah? How do you eat? There's a special method. Yes? This way, with your thumb. Has these grooves. And the boys, they went to Krishna. Oh, Krishna, these fruits, they're just falling down in the tal forest and we can't go there because of the demons who live there. And we're so hungry and thirsty. But there's nothing we can do because these demons live there. So, Balarama and Krishna, let's go. Kill the demons and the boys enjoyed the fruit. The boys even said, can't you smell them from here? And then killing, subduing Kaliya, Kalinak, then extinguishing the forest fire, then killing the demon Pralambasura, then devouring the forest fire. One happened by the Yamuna and the other happened by in Bandiravan, near there. Then description of the autumn. Then the gopis attracted by the flute, stealing the garments of the unmarried gopi girls, delivering the wives of the brahmanas who perform sacrifices, worshipping Govardhan Hill. The just after Govardhan Hill was worshipped, there was a devastating rainfall in Vrindavan. Then the next chapter, after Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, it is wonderful Krishna, because I think it's the cowherd men, they are describing how wonderful Krishna was. Even the seemingly common things that Krishna did were uncommon. Then prayers by Indra, the king of heaven. Then releasing Nanda Maharaj from the clutches of Varuna. Then the rasa dance. Then Krishna's hiding from the gopis. Then the songs of the gopis. Then Krishna returns to the gopis. Then the description of the rasa dance. And then Vidyadhara liberated and the demon Sankachuda killed. All these wonderful pastimes where Krishna exhibited himself as the great hero of Vrindavan, enchanting all the residents of Vrindavan. Then the gopis' feelings of separation. Then Kamsa sends Akrura to bring Krishna back, to bring Krishna to Mathura, to kill him. Then the killing of the Kesi demon in Vyomasura. Where was Vyomasura killed? Where is his cave? Kamivan. Yes? Then Akrura arrives in Vrindavan. Then Akura returns to Mathura with Krishna and Balaram and his vision of Vishnu Loka within the Yamuna River. Up to this point, the residents of Vrindavan were so happy. And after this point, there was nothing but tears of ecstasy and separation for the residents of Vrindavan. The prayers of Akura, then Krishna enters Mathura. He breaks the bow in the sacrificial arena. He kills the elephant Kuvalayapita. He kills Kamsa. He goes to Gurukula and recovers the son of his teacher. Then Uddhava visits Vrindavan. He delivers the message of Krishna to the gopis. Krishna pleases his devotees in Mathura, ill-motivated Dhritarashtra. Krishna erects the Dwarka fort. The deliverance of Muchukunda. Krishna, the Ranchor, he runs from the battle. Krishna kidnaps Rukmini. Krishna defeats all the princes and takes Rukmini home to Dwarka. Prajumna, born to Krishna and Rukmini. The first child of Krishna, so many children. The story of the Shaimantaka jewel. The killing of Shatrujit and Satadanva after that. Five queens married by Krishna. The deliverance of the demon Bhomasura. Who is Bhomasura's father? Excuse me?
Varaha.
Yes, Varaha. Talks between Krishna and Rukmini. These pastimes are incredible. All wonderful, all wonderful. The genealogy of the family of Krishna. The meeting of Usha and Aniruddha. Lord Krishna fights with Banasura. The story of King Nriga. Who is Nriga? What shape is he in? Lizard. Why? Made a mistake, and that mistake was like cheating. Oh! Lord Balaram visits Vrindavan, the deliverance of Pundraka and the king of Kashi. They were delivered in a wonderful way, weren't they? The deliverance of Dvidvida Gorilla means they were killed by Krishna. The marriage of Samba. The great sage Narada visits the different homes of Lord Krishna. Amazing. Lord Krishna's daily activities. Lord Krishna in Indraprastha city. The liberation of King Jarasandha. Lord Krishna returns to the city of Hastinapur. The deliverance of Shishupal. His head is cut from his body by the Sudarshan Chakra. Why Duryodhana felt insulted at the end of the Rajasuya sacrifice. The battle between Salva and the members of the Yadu dynasty and the deliverance of Salva. The killing of Dantavakra, Vidurata, and Ramaharshan. Who killed Ramaharshan? With a blade of kusa grass. The liberation of Balvala and Lord Balaram's touring the sacred places. The meeting of Lord Krishna with Sudama Brahmana. The Brahmana, Sudama, blessed by Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna and Balaram meet the inhabitants of Vrindavan and Kurukshetra. Draupadi meets the queens of Krishna. Sacrificial ceremonies performed by Vasudev. Special instructions for Vasudev and the return of the six dead sons of Devaki by Lord Krishna. The kidnapping of Subhadra and Lord Krishna's visiting Shutadev in Bahulasva. Prayers by the personified Vedas. The deliverance of Lord Shiva. The super excellent power of Krishna. And a summary description of Lord Krishna's pastimes. This is what's described in the 10th canto. So when Krishna comes, because Krishna is standing right in front of Kunti Devi, describing why, the reasons why people say he come. So when Krishna had come, he performed such wonderful pastimes that all of devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshiping, and so on became enlivened. And therefore, conditioned souls suffering from material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation. Prabhupada says and explains in his purport, the Lord, out of his causeless mercy, because he is more merciful to the suffering living entities than they can expect, appears before them and renovates the principles of devotional service, composed of hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshipping, praying, cooperating, and surrendering unto him. Adoption of all the above mentioned items or any one of them can help a conditioned soul get out of the tangle of nescience and thus become liberated from all material sufferings created by the living being illusioned by the external energy. This particular type of mercy is bestowed upon the living being by the Lord in the form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this so clearly, and for another reason too, which we'll get to in a few moments. And the final verse that we'll read today, in pursuance of that verse, Shrinvanti gayanti grananti abdikshnana smaranti nandanti tevahitam jana taeva pashyanti achinena tavakam bhava pravaho paramam padam bhujam. O Krishna, those who continuously hear, chant, and repeat your transcendental activities, or take pleasure in others doing so, certainly see your lotus feet, which alone can stop the repetition of birth and death. To the Prabhupada's purport. The Supreme Lord Sri Krishna cannot be seen by our present conditional vision. In order to see him, one has to change his present vision by developing a different condition of life full of spontaneous love of Godhead. This is what it takes to see Krishna. When Sri Krishna was personally present on the face of the globe, not everyone could see him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Materialists like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa, Jarasandha, and Sisupal were highly qualified personalities by acquisition of material assets. But they were unable to appreciate the presence of the Lord. Therefore, even though the Lord may be present before our eyes, it is not possible to see him unless we have the necessary vision. This necessary qualification is developed by the process of devotional service only, beginning with hearing about the Lord from the right sources. The Bhagavad Gita is one of the popular literatures which are generally heard, chanted, repeated, etc. by people in general. But in spite of such hearing, sometimes it is experienced that the performer of such devotional service does not see the Lord eye to eye. The reason is that the first item, Shravana, is very important. If hearing is from the right sources, it acts very quickly. People generally hear from unauthorized persons. Such unauthorized persons may be very learned by academic qualifications, but because they do not follow the principles of devotional service, hearing from them becomes a sheer waste of time. Sometimes the texts are interpreted fashionably to suit their own purposes. Therefore, first one should select a competent and bona fide speaker and then hear from him. When the hearing process is perfect and complete, the other processes become automatically perfect in their own way. So here is the essence of the process of advancement. Shravanale shudhachitte koribe udai. There are different transcendental activities of the Lord, and each and every one of them is competent to bestow the desired results, provided the hearing process is perfect. In the Bhagavatam, the activities of the Lord begin from his dealings with the Pandavas. There are many other pastimes of the Lord in connection with his dealings with the Asuras and others. And in the 10th canto, the sublime dealings with his conjugal associates, the gopis, as well as with his married wives at Dwarka are mentioned. Since the Lord is absolute, there is no difference in the transcendental nature of each and every dealing of the Lord. But sometimes people, in an unauthorized hearing process, take more interest in hearing about the dealings with his dealings with the gopis. Such an inclination indicates the lusty feelings of the hearer. So, a bona fide speaker of the dealings of the Lord never indulges in such hearings. One must hear about the Lord from the very beginning, as in the Srimad Bhagavatam or any other scriptures, and that will help the hearer attain perfection by progressive development. One should not therefore consider that his dealings with the Pandavas are less important than his dealings with the gopis. We must always remember that the Lord is always transcendental to all mundane attachment. In all the above mentioned dealings of the Lord, he is the hero in all circumstances, and hearing about him or about his devotees or combatants is conducive to spiritual life. It is said that the Vedas and Puranas are all made to revive our lost relation with him. Hearing of all these scriptures is essential. I'd like to read a little of other things that Prabhupada said similar. I've combined two excerpts into one here. One is from the teachings of Queen Kunti, another is from a lecture that I was listening to. By these words, Shrinvanti, Kunti Devi indicates that our first concern should be to hear about Krishna. One must be eager to hear. Why do we pay a college fee and go to college? To hear. By sitting down and hearing from the learned professor, we get knowledge. Therefore, a devotee engages in hearing about Krishna always. For those who are cultivating Krishna consciousness, the first business is hearing. And if one has actually heard about Krishna, one's next engagement in bhakti yoga will be to chant Gayanti. The preachers of the Krishna consciousness movement go from town to town, village to village. Why? What is their purpose? To preach, to chant, so that people may get the opportunity to hear this philosophy and take it seriously. Gunanti. The word abhikshnasha indicates that these engagements should go on continuously, 24 hours a day, without stopping. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore recommends Kirtaniya Siddhari, one should engage in chanting 24 hours a day. That is the business of Krishna conscious devotees. One may perform all the methods of devotional service or may accept only one. Simply hearing is enough. Prakrit Maharaj did not do anything else but sit down before Sukadev Goswami and hear for the last 7 days of his life. If one simply hears without doing anything else, if one simply sits down in the temple and whenever there is a talk of Bhagavad Gita one goes on hearing, that will be enough. Even if you do not understand, please hear. The vibration, the mantra will help you. Grammatical or scholarly understanding is not very important. One may not know Sanskrit grammar, but bhakti is apratiyata, unimpeachable. Nothing can check the process of bhakti. Therefore, one should simply accept this process of hearing as recommended by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Amara agyai guru hai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Amara agyai guru hai tare desh, yare deki tahe kaha Krishna upadesh. Just see. It is very nice, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says. He is the Supreme Lord Krishna. He says, Amara agyai. Whatever I say, Amara agyai, by my order, you become a spiritual master. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says this. So one may be very illiterate, no education or no scholarship. One may not be born in a Brahmana family or may not be a sannyasi. There are so many qualifications. But one may not have all these qualifications. He may be a rascal number one, but still he can become spiritual master. How? Amar Agyai, on my order. As Krishna says, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, if you follow, then you become spiritual master. One may be rascal number one from the material estimation, but if he simply strictly follows whatever is said by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or his representative spiritual master, then he becomes a guru. So it is not very difficult. One may think, I'm not qualified to become a guru. No, you are qualified if you follow strictly the parampara system. Then you are qualified. That's all. Amara Agyai Guru Hai. And what is the difficulty? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, don't feel any difficulty. Because as spiritual master, what do you have to do? Yare deka tari kaha Krishna Upadesh. Whomever you meet, you simply speak to him the instructions which Krishna gives. And what instructions does Krishna give? This is also very easy. What is that? Krishna says, Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskaru. Krishna says, just become my devotee. Always think of me, offer me obeisances, and worship me. So here is Krishna. If you simply think, here is Krishna, Radha Krishna deity, you may be fool number one, rascal number one, that doesn't matter. But you are getting impression of this Radha and Krishna, and you should think of him. Oh, how nicely Krishna is decorated. This much. No erudite scholarship. Simply, Krishna says, Manmana bhava mad bhakto. Here is a deity. Worship him nicely as it is regulated principle. Even you are not worshipping, simply think of Krishna. Here is Radha and Krishna. Impression. What is the difficulty? As soon as you see Radha and Krishna, you get some impression. Think of that impression. Where is the difficulty? Manmana bhava mad bhakto. Worship me. If you got opportunity, worship. If you're initiated, worship here. Or if you install a deity at home, as our Chiradakshai Prabhu is doing, everyone can do it. Where is the difficulty? Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. And if you cannot do anything, simply come and offer your obeisances. My dear Lord Krishna, I am so poor, so unfortunate, I cannot do all these things, but I offer my humble obeisances unto your lotus feet. That much also, if you do this, you become spiritual master. So simply by accepting this principle, and even if you are not learned, literate, if you are hearing so much from Bhagavad Gita, you simply repeat that. Simply repeat that. There is no question of becoming a very learned scholar. God has given you this ear. Even if you are blind, you cannot read, you can hear. And at last, Krishna says, Sarva damam prityaja, mam ekam sharanam braja. So if you simply preach this cult, my dear friend, my dear brother, you surrender to Krishna. You become spiritual master. You become spiritual master. You go door to door. No other talk. Simply say, my dear friend, you are very nice, you are very learned. That was adopted by Prabodhananda Saraswati. Dante nidhaya trinakam padayor napatya kaku shatram kritra chaham bravimi. The meaning is the preaching is very easy. Dante nidhaya trinakam. According to the Indian system, if you put a blade of grass in your mouth, it is a sign that you have become very humble. If you approach a person with a grass in your mouth, you immediately know that you are coming there with very, very great humility. Therefore, Danta Nidhaya. This was the system. Danta Nidhaya Trinakam. And touching his feet. immediately touch his feet, immediately. Even if he's an enemy, he'll be a friend. Even if he is your enemy, it is so nice a process. Take a grass in your mouth and immediately fall at his feet, padeo nepetia, and with folded hands, give him much flattery. Dante nitaya trinikam padeo nepatya kaku shatam kritvacha. All flattering words. Aham bravimi. So immediately he'll agree. Yes, what you say, I'll hear, I'll hear. Immediately he'll agree to at least hear you. Just see how perfect the process is. Then what is your purpose, sir? He'll say. Why are you becoming so humble, so meek? Then, you should then say, yes, sir, I'll say. And he'll say, what is that? You say, hey, sadhava, you are a great sadhu. Although he may be a rascal, number one, still you call him, hey, sadhava. And he'll say, yes, I am a sadhu, yes. What is your proposal? Then you say, now kindly forget all the nonsense, whatever you have heard. That's all. I am flattering you because I want that you forget everything. All these yogis and this and that and meditation. Please kick out all of these. Then what will I do? Chaitanya Chandra Charane Kurutang Grugram. Just adhere yourself to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then you become spiritual master. That's all. So I hope that all of you, men, women, boys and girls, become spiritual master and follow this principle. Spiritual master, simply, sincerely follow the principles and speak to the general public. Then Krishna immediately becomes your favorite. Krishna does not become your favorite, you become Krishna's favorite. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Nacha tasmad manusheshu kaschin me priyakritama. One who is doing this humble service of preaching work, Krishna consciousness, no one is dearer than him to me. So if you want to become recognized by Krishna very quickly, you take up this process of becoming spiritual master. Present the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Your life is perfect. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Make it loud.
Then he approached his kingdom on a stone bridge. And the stones were floating on the water. Where is the law of gravitation? The law of gravitation, the so-called scientist imagination, does not act when Gurukram, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, acts. He wanted there should be no law of gravitation. Let the stones float on the water. This is Gurukram. So we accept Lord Ramchandra as God, Lord Krishna is God, not these petty dogs and cats. We have no business with these petty dogs and cats. All rascals that declare, I am God. No. Therefore, these rascals who do not know what is God, you have to inject within their ear holes the message of God. That is your business. Krishna consciousness movement means these rascals, dogs, hogs, cannons and asses, who have no information of God. Therefore, their ear holes are compared like the snake holes, really. So, you have got very responsible task to inject within their ear the sivarless activities of God. Otherwise, their ear holes remain as snake holes. And I explained yesterday, in the snake holes, nobody goes there, nobody puts their hands or legs. Similarly, if these ear holes remain empty, without oral reception of the great activities of the Lord, beside that, there is no God. God is dead. God has no personality. He is zero. Therefore, they have no opportunity to hear about God. Nasinnaka karna puti narasya. This human form of body, this ear holds, and meant for giving oral reception to the message of God. But they will not do that. Therefore, your mission is to go home to home, village to village, town to town, and give them injection. Yes, make such arrangement, nice dancing, nice chanting, prasad distribution. Why? Just to inject in their snake holes the words of Krishna. This is your mission. Those who are sannyas, especially, it is their duty, sannyas, to sacrifice everything. Sacrifice means nothing to be sacrificed, but sacrifice the sense of I am the Lord. What you have got, you can sacrifice. This is simply a blood sacrifice. We cannot sacrifice. What we have got, we can sacrifice. There is no question of sacrifice. But sacrifice means this doggish mentality that I am Lord, I am God, I am enjoyer. This doggish mentality has to be sacrificed.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions? Comments? Yes? He does, but through this process. He can't liberate us as long as we don't want to be liberated. Liberated means free from the modes of material nature. And what entangles us in the modes of material nature? What entangles us in the prison bars? It's our desire to be independent and joyous. So we have that free will. So Krishna doesn't...